Exodus 14, verses 10 to 22. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Don't be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water, so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of the Lord, who'd been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other. So neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, John 8, verse 1. "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and at dawn he appeared in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?' They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus went down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, 'Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her.' Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left. With the woman still standing there, Jesus straightened up and asked her, 'Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?' 'No one, sir,' she said. 'Then neither do I,' Jesus declared. 'Go now and leave your life of sin.' When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" Amen. It's good to be with you again today. Nice smiles welcoming me. It's good. Lord, let us pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to hear from your word, your Bible. Lord, bless the words I'm about to say. Soften our hearts that we might hear something new from you. And then when we leave here, that we will have a renewed purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever thought about who put the sun in the sky? Have you ever thought about how the sun shines so bright? Have you ever thought about why, at the center of our solar system, 93 million miles away, the sun shines perfectly on our orbiting planet? The answers to these questions can be found in that mythical source of information, the Gospel of Google. In Google and National Geographic, you can find the answer to how the sun shines so bright. It's a process called nuclear fusion, the collision of atoms that produces energy and light that then heats and illuminates our Earth. That answers the question of how the sun shines so bright, but it doesn't answer who kicked off the process and why. On NASA's own website, when you check out the facts about the sun, where it says discovered by, you find this phrase, known by the ancients. One of the ancient books that we have is the Christian Bible. And in our second reading, Jesus makes a claim to know the source of our light. He says in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The time and the place of this declaration is not to be ignored. Jesus, being Jesus, knows exactly what he is doing. In John chapter 7, we understand that Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacles, a joyful feast according to Deuteronomy, a time when all Jewish believers would head to the temple to celebrate when God dwelt with, when God tabernacled with the Israelites in the wilderness, a time when God led them out of Egypt, freed them from slavery, and was visible by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. Reading Jewish traditions, you understand some of the ways to celebrate this would be to sleep in tents, to sleep in sukkots in the wilderness, just as their ancestors would. Another way to celebrate would be the ceremony of illumination, lighting huge candles in the temple that would illuminate the light sky, just to remind them of the pillar of fire that their ancestors had in the wilderness. Standing in the temple courts with all of this symbolism around him, Jesus makes this declaration, I am the light of the world. Today I'd like to look at what's Jesus' case for making such a declaration. And then look at the so what. So what if he is the light of the world? What does that mean for me and you? So let's look at his case. On the first page of the Bible, we see in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And in verse 3, it says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. If you know the creation story, you will know it's not till day 4 that God creates the sun and the moon. But here we see on day 1, amongst chaos and darkness, that light was possible. Who was this light and where did it come from? Jesus is saying, I am the source of this light. I am the source of light and life on earth. The prophets Isaiah and Malachi spoke about the coming light. But another source of evidence can be found in Matthew chapter 17, at the top of Mount Tabor, the scene of the transfiguration. It says, he, Jesus, was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Another bit of evidence can be found in Revelations, when the prophet John has a revelation of the future heaven on earth, the holy city. It says that the city did not need a sun or a moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gave it its light, and the Lamb was its lamp. Jesus is saying, I am this Lamb. I am this lamp. I am this light. He is the light of the world. Do you accept his case? So let's look at the so what. After hearing the evidence, you might be thinking, so what? So what if it is the light of the world? What does that mean? What effect can that have on my everyday life? Well, let's look at the light in action. In our second reading, John 8, 1 to 12, we see the story labeled the adulterous woman. Verse 6 tells us that the Pharisees were wanting to set a trap for Jesus. So they bring this woman and say that she was caught in the very act. They demand Jesus confirm, should she be stoned like the law of Moses says, like the scriptures say in Leviticus and Deuteronomy? What do you say, they said, Or what sayest thou? The King James Version puts it dramatically. Jesus, knowing the scripture and their intentions, he knows their case is already blown. The Old Testament law says, if a man is found lying with a married woman, then both of them should die, the man and the woman. So where's the fella? Where's the man? Maybe he's hiding from the crowd because he knows his wife and the relatives are there. We do not know, but we do know that there should be two brought before Jesus. So this is an unfair judgment that's about to take place. Have you ever been caught? Not necessarily in the same circumstances. Sorry, let me clarify. I won't ask for a show of hands. But have you ever been caught doing something wrong? Have you ever really, really messed up? I have. 1995. Caught with a knife in the boys' changing room at school. In walks that temple guard, the PE teacher. Asks to search my jacket. Finds the knife. The crowd, the pupils could see my fear. They could see his anger. They could see his disgust. He sends me to that chief priest's office, the headmistress, where I sit, crying, not worried about the Roman guards or the temple guard, not worried about the chief priest, but about that supreme governor, that one who would hold my life and death. She went by the name of Mummy. What was she going to do and what was she going to say? So I can sympathize with the adulterous woman. And I'm sure we all can. Those of us that have made a mistake and had to deal with that in the full view of others. We understand when symbolically people are ready to throw rocks, to tell us where we've gone wrong, to publicly condemn us. But coming up against the light of the world, the light in action, in this instance, creates a different outcome. Similar to the reading in Exodus, the Israelites are being pursued by the Egyptian, and the angel of the Lord goes between them. So Jesus stands between the woman and her enemies. Just as God confused the Egyptians, Jesus says something to confuse the Pharisees. Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Confused and disarmed by Jesus' wisdom, the Pharisees leave. Jesus arises and looks at the woman. Is there anyone to condemn you? He asks. No, she says in verse 10. Then neither do I. Go now and leave your life of sin. When sin and shame come into contact with the light, Jesus does not condemn her, but releases her to a new life. The same goes for us. The Pharisees, your Pharisees cannot condemn you. Your crowds cannot condemn you. But I wonder, do we believe that? Do we believe the word of God when it says that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ? We can be like the woman. When our attackers have long gone, we are standing in front of Jesus, but we look past Jesus and all we can see is the stones that others have thrown at us. The stones thrown by parents, the stones thrown by husbands and wives in arguments, the stones thrown by institutions and bullies. Oh, you'll never be good enough. Oh, there they go again. Oh, you'll never amount to nothing. We believe them, we collect them, and they follow us through life. But today we have a chance to meet the light. Today we have a chance to escape those accusers, to stand not on a bed of rocks, but to stand on the word of God, to say that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive and purify us from all unrighteousness. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. For me, he is the light. Do you believe his case? The other group that come up against the light is the Pharisees. The Pharisees with their ill-conceived plan. The Pharisees were experts at judging people. Judging through their religious standards, judging through their own twisted interpretation of the scriptures. They were always ready to judge. I wonder if we can see any parts of our character in the Pharisees, judging people through the wrong lens. I know I could. As a big brother, as an employer, I've thrown my fair share of rocks. I've thrown rocks of disgust and rocks of disappointment and rocks of disgrace. Let he who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. This behavior can be seen as a warning to us too. Through what lens do we judge people around us? Are we judging according to our political lens, our blue, our green, our yellow and red lenses? Are we judging according to our cultural lens, how we did things back home or how we do things around here? Are we judging against our generational lenses, how things should be done? Or just like the Pharisees, our doctrinal lens, our evangelical, our orthodox, our high or lower Anglican lenses? But nowadays, we don't condemn with stoning. We progress from stones. We condemn in silence. We condemn with our looks. We step aside and walk on the other side of the road. Don't get me wrong, these lenses have a time and a place. But as the Bible puts it, in your relationships with one another, have the same minds as Christ Jesus. Not looking to our own interests, but to the interests of others. Today, we have been given the same chance as the Pharisees, from the oldest to the youngest, it says, to put down our rocks, to walk away, to repent, to say sorry. Our mindsets can be changed in his light because he is the light of the world. So as I come to an end, we've heard Jesus' case. We've looked at the so what, the light in action. Watching all of this was the crowd in the temples, packed in on balconies and all around Jesus. They had a decision to make. As Matt read anyway, you heard the decision. Some believed, some were confused, some wanted to kill Jesus. If only they had an Alpha course back then. Jesus says, I have come into the world as light, and no one that believes in me will stay in darkness. Do you believe he is the light of the world? Whatever your decision today, I encourage you to accept Jesus as your light. Whatever darkness you find yourself in today, invite him into that situation. When you invite him in, he comes and dwells, he comes and tabernacles with us like he tabernacled with the Israelites in the desert. His goal then is for me and you to become his lights of the world. In Matthew 5, he says, you are the light for the whole world. A city built on a hill that cannot be hidden, like a church built on the hill of Deble Road. In the same way, let your light shine before people so that they will see the good things that you do and glorify your Father in heaven. God has a mission for you in your home, in your school, in your community, even just to your neighbors. So if you're listening today, finding yourself in a chaotic, uncertain situation, I pray in the name of Jesus, let there be light. If you want to believe in this light, I pray in the name of Jesus, let there be light. And if you want your light to shine brighter, we all pray, let there be light. Amen.